Well, we are in the book of Proverbs as we continue our sessions through the 11th chapter of Proverbs. We're in verse 4 of Proverbs 11. And this particular proverb reads thusly, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." So we're going to talk some about riches. The Bible has much to say about riches and many cautions. But we live today in the day where the great quest of men and women is the quest to be rich. We live in a country where it seems the major motivation for living is to accumulate and consume. And as you know, we're constantly being bombarded with messages that tell us that living a life without a particular product or service is not a life worth living. I mean, that's about the extent of it. The advertising bombardment that we receive on a daily basis is just astounding. We're bombarded with advertisements for products for every part of your body that we're told you need absolutely to function in this world. And it's almost as if you don't use these products, you will not be able to live without them. And I imagine back in the day of Jesus, there were advertisers who perhaps would walk through the streets calling out products, calling out craftsmen, go to Levi, the craftsman who makes tables, get your good tables there, or go down to the food store. So I imagine this is nothing new, but today we are hearing from advertisers through all kinds of media, newspapers and radio and television and internet with its email and blogs and websites and Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget billboards and even t-shirts. I mean, you walk around and you're blasted with t-shirt advertising. So there's advertising all over the place. There's no place to go where we are not taught that the whole reason for living is to consume the world's products. Now you think back in our recent political history, and you'll remember that after the dark day of 9/11, our president told us to go buy things to show how patriotic we are. That's the measure of patriotism in this day and age. Go buy things. In President Clinton's day, we were told it's the economy, stupid. Now, that's not polite, but that's what he said. It's the economy, stupid. And in our day, it seems the whole reason for government is the promotion of the economy and the creation of jobs. And it seems there is little connection to our Constitution for what goes on in government today. Can you imagine the founding fathers coming back and saying, what is the government doing? Why are they so involved in the economy? Why are they so involved in all of these things? There's nothing in the Constitution that we wrote, oh yes, the general welfare clause. Well, that's not what we meant, but that's what we see today. Every candidate for office is commanded to bring home not only the bacon, but everything else that goes with breakfast. We also see coming on the scene, according to the Apostle John, Satan's product of humanism, that ultimate man who opposes Christ and commands that all, in order to engage in commerce, must be marked, as though people themselves are to become merchandise. The mark of the beast is a commercial venture, that unless you have it, you'll not be able to engage in commerce. It's obvious what's happening in the country, in the world, where we're headed toward that, where that will be a normal thing. Oh, they'll say this is good. This will solve many, many security problems. Put it on me. Without such marks, men and women, boys and girls throughout the world will be unacceptable to the head merchant, the Antichrist. So what we are experiencing today heads us toward that act. Now, what is the purpose? What are we told the purpose of this is? Well, we are told that it is so that all can realize the American dream. My, there's been a lot of nightmares lately, hasn't there? People woke up and they found they were living in a house that they paid $300,000 for, and now it's only worth $200,000. That's a big gap. But they say, well, you know, I don't really own this house. The bank does. I'm walking. You know, I'm walking and I'm talking. You know, that's the way we are today. We walk away. The bank owns that. We're told that all of us can realize that American dream, and that dream is to accumulate as much as possible of that which can be seen, smelled, touched, tasted, or heard. Why? For we live in a material world, encouraged and supervised by Satan, the archenemy of God, and the enemy of Jesus Christ. This is a material world that we're living in. Satan promotes. You know, Satan boasts about this plan. He even has a song about this plan, and this song is called The Material Girl. Have you ever heard this song? Well, here's a verse. This girl in this song sings this, and she boasts of being this material girl, for she says they can beg and they can plead, but they can't see the light. That's right, because the boy with the cold, hard cash is always Mr. Right, because we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. You know that we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. That's the song of the world. You know, if you want to know where the devil is going, listen to his music. Music is not neutral. The devil has his music. It's amazing how Christians just fall for his music. Oh, that sounds good. Well, where did it come from? Did it come from there or did it come from there? So Satan is bold to tell us clearly that this is his world and he is only concerned with the material. Do not we see his efforts in every area to remove anything that concerns the spiritual? Just perk up, listen, watch, and you'll see Satan working to remove the spiritual. Remove the Bible and prayer in school. Remove prayer in public places. Remove any display of Ten Commandments. Get back in your churches and shut the doors, shut the windows. Don't let any sound come out. Compartmentalize Christianity. And that's the devil's motive. Get rid of or isolate the spiritual and promote and broadcast the material. Now, Satan was at this mission of making this world into a material world when he confronted our Lord in one of his weakest moments. Remember that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Remember that. Jesus was led by God, by the Father, by the Spirit, to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he was extremely hungry, that crafty and deceitful Satan saw his opportunity and came to the physically weak Jesus to tempt him. That's just like Satan. Waits for the time when you're weak and down. Be careful when you're weak and down. Get into the scriptures. but he was hungry. And Satan came to him, attempting to show where his salvation was to come from, for Satan's program is to convince that salvation comes from the material world, the so-called real world, that world which can only be known by the use of the senses. That's Satan's motive, to get you to believe that only that which you can observe by the senses is the real world. None of that old-timey faith enters the picture, thank you. No faith. Jesus, Satan said, and he started it out with that if. He always likes to use that word if. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Oh, how good that must have sounded to the hungry Lord. Bread for a hungry man, sustenance from this world of the material, bread that touches the senses of sight and smell, touch and taste. Don't you like to come home and smell the bread that's in the oven? Oh, how excited you get. Fresh bread from the oven. Put a little jam on it, a little jelly, along with some bright yellow warm butter. Oh, how that would satisfy a hungry Jesus. Why not, you'd say? What will a little bread do, you might say? What's a little bread? But you know, Jesus thought. Jesus knew where Satan was going, and he didn't succumb to Satan's temptation, but instead he chose to provide us a truth about Satan's material world and its clutches upon mankind, which denies any other world. So he banished any thoughts of comfort, any thoughts of satisfaction that the eating of the bread would bring about. He cast that aside, and our blessed, lovely Lord used the sword of the Spirit that had already been expressed in Deuteronomy 8:3 to thwart the advances of the devil. And this is recorded in Matthew 4:4, where he said, "It is written." I love that. It is written. He just didn't bring this out of nowhere, but he said, "It's written." It's verified in God's word. And he says this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So in this, God has decreed that man shall not live by bread alone. But as is in the case of everything that God says, Satan is fully committed. He is passionately committed to do the opposite of what God commands. So Satan speaks a resounding no to this decree. And he says that in my world system, man shall live by bread alone. And I'll tell you, it's obvious that he has done a good job in convincing most men and most women of this, because most of mankind is consumed with the getting of bread. Most of mankind is consumed with the idea that the only way to get bread is by the sweat of your brow. Isn't that true? No, that's Satan's message. But the message of God is quite different, for Jesus clearly taught his disciples this prayer. We read of it in Matthew 6:9-11. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then he said this astounding statement. It rolls off our tongue so carelessly, and yet it's astounding. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Now note that. Note that the source of bread is from the hand of our Father which art in heaven. We are to stretch out our hand to our Father for bread. For the source of bread is not to be thought of as coming from our own hand. You know, if you're going to be the breadwinner in the home, win the bread from God, is the message here. Win the bread from God. Now, this idea makes all the difference in the world, for it shows us that we are to live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We are not to live adopting the message of Satan that man shall live by bread alone, for that statement ignores the hand of God who makes the bread, promoting the idea that man can be independent of God. What a difference it is when you remember that the bread comes from the Father, not from you. Now, Jesus, in the same passage in Matthew 6, told his disciples not to be fooled by Satan's message that this is a material world. For Jesus told them not to concentrate on the laying up of treasure upon earth, also telling them this astounding idea. This is an astounding idea. This too falls off our lips so casually. And basically it's rejected. But he said this, take no thought for what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor for your body, or what ye shall put on. And then he said this, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And the devil says, that's wrong. The life is the meat. The life is the raiment. But Jesus said, no. In Matthew 6, 31 through 34, he says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, peculiar people don't do what the Gentiles do. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then this astounding statement, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he says it again, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, there's plenty of evil today. Deal with that. Don't worry about tomorrow. Now, this passage presents an interesting priority list. You ever made priority lists? I've got lists that says, this is what I've got to do. I put on the list the top priority. My top priority today is to eat food. But that, we make priority lists. God has made a priority list here, but this priority list has only one item on the list. Notice that. That item is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the whole list. We think, well, seek ye first the kingdom of God, get bread. Didn't say that. Bread, take no thought. See, all of the other things mentioned are not on the list. for ye are not to give them thought, Jesus said. So God gives us a very simple list. You know, we're simple people. God does not complicate things for us. He knows our frame, and he does not complicate lists. He gives us one thing on the list. But Satan's deceptive message is that seeking bread is the only item on his list. Satan's message that man shall live by bread alone means that seeking bread is everything, for this is a material world. But Jesus' message is to not be concerned about seeking bread, for your heavenly Father will provide bread. You know, I think about the military, and I've mentioned this before. What if the soldiers had to worry about bread in the battlefield? You know, they take no thought about bread on the battlefield. Someone else does. They're sent to do battle. They don't want them to be taking thought about, where's my next meal coming from? They want to do battle. And that's basically what God has put into place for us. We're to do battle, not to be concerned about bread. The first priority is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the bread you need will come. No shopping list required. I can testify to this truth. I can testify to it. I've gone from income here to income here. Where's the bread coming from? Didn't concern myself with it. The bread came. And I'm sure a lot of you could say the same thing. Where's the bread? Don't take a thought of it. Just do your duty, seeking the Lord, seeking his kingdom, and the bread will come. But the world's message is that seeking the kingdom of God is foolish. The world's message is to seek bread and more bread and more bread. But that is Satan's way, not God's way. Why do you want more bread? Well, you want to store it up for tomorrow. Well, he said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Bread, the bread man will come tomorrow. You know, the bread man will come tomorrow. But Satan's way is that the more bread you have, the more security you will have. And the more security, where will your need be to go to God's hand for bread? You know, the more money in the bank, the less God you need in a lot of minds. But God's way is to take no thought for the morrow. You are to ask for the bread today. Tomorrow will be today. Tomorrow. That's the time to ask for tomorrow's bread. Ask again for your daily bread. Is the way that God tells us to live, for man shall not live by bread alone. So we are to be warned about the security that riches bring to the mind. For as our proverb says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now, where will you be in the day of wrath? Will you be at the bank getting your riches to take to the mountains and hide from God's wrath? Well, this proverb says the riches won't profit you in the day of God's wrath. Or are you depositing your riches in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal? You know, it's so amusing to watch the gold sellers and the silver sellers. You know, the day of wrath comes, and where's the bread? All I've got is gold. Try tasting that. How satisfying that will be. You know, it's so funny about what the world thinks is valuable. God says seeking first the kingdom of God is valuable. All these other things are incidental. But have you chosen to adopt God's priority of life, where material goods are incidental to life? Now get that phrase. Material goods are incidental to life. They are not life. Incidental to life. Jesus said, not worth thinking about or investing your life in, knowing that God will provide if ye first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you resting in this truth? Or do you think that getting bread all depends on you? You know, that's so worldly. That's how the Gentiles think. The getting of bread for my family all depends on me. Well, Jesus said that's godless thinking. That's godless thinking. Jesus said in Matthew 19:23 that this kind of godless thinking results for the most part in doom. For he said that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, he did not say it couldn't happen. He simply said it is very rare, for most rich men have decided to live in a material world and trust in their riches to keep them safe. But Jesus knew how fading riches were, and he cautioned in Proverbs 23:4 to labor not to be rich. And then he said, cease from thine own wisdom. You know, the wisdom of this world is to labor to be rich, to put all your energies into the accumulation of riches. This wisdom coming from the natural man is to seek to be rich, for he only sees with his eyes and refuses to see by faith. He sees that the rich have power, the rich have comfort, the rich have many friends, perhaps fair-weather friends, though they may be, but perhaps better than no friends at all. But Jesus says in Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? You know, we go to the car dealer and we drool. You know? Phil goes to the car dealer, he doesn't drool. He just is satisfied with his station wagon. But some of us go to the car dealers and we drool. But just remember that the car that was this high when you bought it someday will be squeezed down this high, and it'll be in the trash. So he says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? And that which is not has no eternality to it. Hey? You young fellows, you've got a whole life ahead of you. Don't set your eyes upon that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves wings. You know, our pastor had his air conditioning replaced. The day before it broke, he said, I've got $4,000 in the bank. I'm sitting pretty. But riches have wings. That $4,000 flew away into some craftsman's pocket whose house just burned down. Perhaps. And that money continued to fly, having wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You know, Jesus also cautions that they that hasten to be rich shall not be innocent. The very fact of you hastening to be rich causes you not to be innocent. They that hasten to be rich, we're told, hath an evil eye. Did you ever get the evil eye by someone? But the hasteners to riches hath an evil eye, not considering that poverty shall come upon him. We'll all cave in. Seeking to be rich makes getting riches more important than God's word and the moral principles that God's word provides. Seeking to be rich brings corner cutting and relinquishing of principles in order to reach the goals of Satan's world, the material world. Seeking to be rich means that one's hope is built on nothing less than gold and silver of this world, those things that can be seen and touched. But you know, if you look through the eyes of faith and you believe the Bible, what's going to happen to George Washington's monument in Washington? What's going to happen to all those grand buildings in New York where the protesters are gathered together? What's going to happen to everything that man has made? God has determined to burn this world up. You see, we see that through the eyes of faith, and that ought to moderate our quest for riches. For God has determined to burn its monuments, its buildings, its grandeur. God apparently has no use for the treasures of this earth, but he rejoices when his children use those treasures in the advancement of his kingdom. Why? Because this activity, when you reach into your treasure to advance the kingdom of God, it takes faith. Bread or the kingdom of God? Well, you know, I'd like to have a new house or the kingdom of God, or this new material thing or the kingdom of God. It's always a choice, is it not? But Satan is busy all around the world convincing that man shall live by bread alone. But God says riches are not forever. He says in Proverbs 27, 25, and 27, this is what is good to see. Get your mind off the material things. He says this calming passage, the hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered, the lambs are for their clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. You know, young people think food comes from Winn-Dixie. God says, no, it comes from the grass of the fields. It comes from the herbs of the mountains. It comes from the lambs I've made for you. It comes from the goats. And you have goat's milk for the food of thy household and for the maintenance of thy maidens. And then this message in Proverbs 38, remove far from me vanity and lies. And then it says, give me neither poverty nor riches. In other words, let me be middle class. See, God kind of elevates the middle class here, doesn't it? There's a danger in being poor, and there's a danger in being rich, but kind of put me in the middle here. Feed me with food convenient for me. You know, what does my body need? Have you ever had a craving for some particular food? You know, the body may be telling you that I need something in that food. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Like Paul, we are to come to the place where we can truly say, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. My, how it's hard to be content, isn't it? You turn on the television and you got to have that gadget. I just want to be content. And if I have that gadget, I'll be content. Well, look at your children's rooms. Look at all the toys that when they got, they were content. But now they haven't touched it for years or months. You know, we so easily lose our contentment when we believe that man shall live by bread alone. But if we believe what Jesus told us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then we can be, as Paul said, content. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful, majestic, and holy word, how it brings light to our minds and to our hearts and to our souls. Lord, we don't have to go down the road that Satan has made, where he has convinced the multitudes that the only thing of life is observed by the senses. But the Word of God says that is incidental. The only thing of life is Jesus Christ, who is life to us. Help us, Father, as a people, to have the priority of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.